Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom. It's our literature unit for today. We're going to be talking about Ernest Hemingway in the next 3 days. And specifically, we're going to be talking about the novel For Whom the Bell Tolls. And that's our featured novel for today. In day one, we're going to summarize the novel for you. And then we'll talk about Ernest Hemingway, the author himself, in our second day. And then finally, in the third day, we will return to our featured novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And that's what this is all about. You know, Hemingway wrote a number of other novels back in high school literature class.
Oh, yeah.
With Mrs. Eukness. We read A Farewell to Arms, which I actually kind of liked. And on my own, I read The Old Man and the Sea.
I read The Sun Also Rises,
which
is set in Spain.
It's about a boxer, right?
No, it's bullfighting.
Bullfighting.
And yeah. I have to say, it wasn't my favorite book.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, Hemingway's kind of loved or hated, depending on who you're talking to.
I think guys like him more than women. But this particular book, though, has been made into a film, and I think they also do a stage play with it.
Okay, they probably have done all sorts of things with this. So, yeah, check it out online if you're interested in reading it. But, hey, we'll talk about it in our program, in our literature unit. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson, and we'll be right back. During the Spanish Civil War, American Robert Jordan leaves his homeland to fight for the Spanish Republican Army. He's sent to assist Spanish guerrilla fighters stationed in the mountains. They're assigned the difficult task of sneaking behind enemy lines and blowing up a bridge. However, Pablo, the guerrilla fighters' leader, is firmly against destroying the bridge because he feels the mission won't be successful. Jordan gets along with the six other fighters at the camp, including Pablo's girlfriend, Pilar. She's intelligent and decisive, and Jordan feels she is the real leader of the group. He also meets a young woman named Maria, and the two quickly fall in love. Jordan is sent on a mission to scout the bridge. When he returns to the camp, Pablo once again refuses to go through with the operation. Since the others insist on carrying out their scheme, Pablo finally concedes. However, his negative attitude has made him seem unreliable to the others. Some even feel that he's a liability and should be killed. In the end, Pilar convinces them that he is still trustworthy. The next day, Jordan hears the sound of another guerrilla camp being bombed and fears that the enemy force is too strong. He sends a letter requesting that the operation to destroy the bridge be canceled. When he does not receive approval in time, Jordan and the guerrillas launch an offensive against the enemy. They succeed in demolishing the bridge, but five of Pablo's men are killed in the process. While retreating, Jordan breaks his leg. He urges Maria and the others to leave him and continue their getaway. For a moment, he thinks about ending his own life before the enemy can capture him, but he feels grateful for being able to live out his last hours. The story closes with Jordan taking aim as the enemy lieutenant approaches.
Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about Ernest Hemingway's masterpiece on war, For Whom the Bell Tolls. I wanted to mention, if a bell tolls, it rings. So you've seen those really big bells that somebody is holding kind of a rope. A rope is connected to the middle of the bell, and they pull it back and forth, and that rings the bell, or the bell tolls that way. We don't usually use toll to talk about ringing, so just know it's a special phrase. We're talking about the plot or summary of the book, For Whom the Bell Tolls, in day one of our literature unit.
Now, during the Spanish Civil War, American Robert Jordan leaves his homeland to fight for the Spanish Republican Army. Okay, so he's an American guy, so he leaves his homeland, which would be the United States, and he goes to Spain to fight for the Spanish Republican Army. Okay, we've got the word Republican here, which is used to talk about a country, basically, a republic, which is representative of people. They have the right to vote. In America, of course, we have two major political parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And in this particular case, though, it's the Spanish Republican Army. I guess you'd probably have to do some research to find out exactly what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, what they believed, yeah.
What kind of government they wanted to establish, because, you know, these terms don't always apply to the same countries, or they don't apply the same way to different countries as they do to others. So he's fighting for the Spanish Republican Army, and he's sent to assist Spanish guerrilla fighters stationed in the mountains. And that's an interesting word there, guerrilla. Okay, when I was a kid listening to the news reports, they kept saying news about these guerrillas fighting in Nicaragua or something like that. And I thought, oh, wow, these giant apes with rifles are chasing after people, shooting them. Wow, they must have trained them really well. It makes a lot of sense. Why have humans go fight when you can get these big monkeys or these big apes to go out there and fight for you?
No.
But no, of course, that's not what it means. That's gorilla, spelled G-O-R. Is it two R's?
T-O-R-I-L-L-A.
There you go. Gorilla, which is a kind of ape, a primate.
Sure.
But in this particular case, it's guerrilla, but in the original Spanish, it would be pronounced guerrilla, and that's from the word guerra in Spanish, which means war.
Yeah.
So guerrilla means something to do with war, and since we're speaking English, we would pronounce this word as guerrilla, which sounds exactly like the word for the ape that I just talked about.
Yeah.
And a guerrilla unit is just a unit of soldiers, but it's smaller in number, okay? Maybe about 20 to 100, maybe less than that, and they may be attached to a larger army. I guess you could say they're kind of like terrorists, maybe?
They are, yeah. And they hang out in small groups, and they attack without any warning. It's harder to fight them than, say, a big army that comes. So we discovered that when America was in Vietnam, they were using guerrilla tactics, and that was the first time American soldiers had to fight against guerrilla warriors, you could call them, guerrilla soldiers. So there aren't many of them, and they kind of work in sneaky ways to attack big units of army. So they've got these guerrilla fighters stationed in the mountains. If you're stationed somewhere, that's where you're set up. You're located there. Not forever, but for some time. Maybe we use station a lot when we talk about military, military people. For example, my dad was stationed in Korea during the Korean War, or my brother is stationed in Germany with a branch of the army that's still there now. So your station, that's where you're living for the time being. They're assigned the difficult task of sneaking behind enemy lines and blowing up a bridge. That's what guerrilla fighters do, though. They sneak and they try to surprise, attack different people, and they really have quite an advantage that way. Now, if you're assigned to do something, you guys know this word. We use it a lot in school. Your teacher will assign you some homework. So if someone's assigned you with something, they've given you a task to do that they expect you to do. Well, these guys were going to sneak or do something quietly. They were going to go behind enemy lines, go into the area where the enemy is stationed, and try not to be discovered, and then blow up a bridge.
Yeah, they have to sneak back there somehow, maybe take a train or go through a river or something, or take an airplane far away and then sneak back there. And they're going to blow up a bridge, which means they use bombs or explosives to destroy that bridge, which is good to do in a war because then the enemy cannot send tanks over that bridge to fight soldiers elsewhere.
And they can't move supplies if there's no bridge, right? That's a great way to...
Or it's a lot harder to
hurt your
least.
Enemy. Yeah.
They might be able to wade through the water of the river, but having a bridge is a lot more convenient.
Yeah.
However, Pablo, the guerrilla fighter's leader, is firmly against destroying the bridge because he feels the mission won't be successful. So he's the leader of this guerrilla group, and they all have this idea, yeah, let's go blow up that bridge. It will cause damage to the enemy, but Pablo says, I don't think that's such a good idea, folks, because, you know, it's probably going to fail if we go there and attack that bridge. Of course, it will be heavily guarded. They'll mow us down with their machine guns. We'll just be totally wiped out. It's a suicide mission.
Could be. So Jordan gets along with the six other fighters at the camp. Notice there aren't that many guys together. So it looks like there are seven guerrilla fighters at the camp. If you get along with someone, it just means you like each other. You don't fight. You actually have a good time hanging out. If you don't get along, life is a little bit more difficult. Sometimes even at work, you'll have coworkers that you don't really get along with. You don't like each other, and it's kind of hard. Well, here it says he gets along with the six other fighters at the camp, including Pablo's girlfriend, Pilar. Says here she's intelligent and decisive. You know what intelligent means? Someone's very smart. Decisive means this person is able to make good decisions quickly. If someone's indecisive, they're not able to make good decisions quickly. One of my friends in my big circle of friends is so indecisive, I don't know what to do sometimes. She's brilliant. She teaches at one of the best schools in New York City, but she cannot make a decision. And it's tough to be around that. If you're decisive, you're going to go places, guys, because if you want to be successful, you have to learn how to make decisions, good decisions, quickly.
I don't want to make them too quickly, though, or you might make the wrong decision, but she knows how things work and she's able to make a decision quickly. And Jordan thinks that she is actually the real leader of the group. She's the brains behind the operation.
Uh-huh.
Also in this group of people, he meets a young woman named Maria. He just met a girl named Maria, and the two quickly fall in love.
Oh, sorry. Then Pilar is not the girlfriend. It's Maria.
Yeah. Okay, that brings us to the end of the first part of our lesson for today. Let's take a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 16 Hemingway's Masterpiece on War 文学单元的第一天课程。这个月的文学单元是一本经典名著 For Whom the Bell Tolls 战地钟声。这本小说是由诺贝尔文学奖得主 Ernest Hemingway 海明威所写的。首先，文章的第一段提到，小说主角 Robert Jordan 是美国人，在西班牙内战时参加西班牙游击队，被指派去摧毁一座桥。我们看到第一段的第四句 However, Pablo, the guerrilla fighter's leader, is firmly against destroying the bridge because he feels the mission won't be successful. 然而游击队战士的领导者帕布罗坚决反对破坏桥梁，因为他觉得这个任务不会成功。这一句有一个字 against，是反对的意思，在使用这个字的时候要小心。Against 是介系词，不是动词，所以前面常会搭配 be 动词或一般动词。例如，当我们说我反对你的提案时，我们要说 I am against your proposal， 而不是 I against your proposal。另外，其他表示反对的动词有 oppose， O P P O S E。后面接名词或 ving be opposed to 和 object to object 要注意的是 be opposed to 和 object to 的 to 都是介系词，所以后面接名词或 ving 而不是接原形动词。例如 My father objected to paying that much for the new tablet computer，我父亲反对花那么多钱买那台新的平板电脑。接着我们看到下一句 Jordan gets along with the six other fighters at the camp, including Pablo's girlfriend, Pilar. 乔丹与包括帕布罗女友皮拉在内的六名其他营地战士和睦相处。Include 也是动词，有包含的意思。介系词是 including， 形容词是 inclusive。I-N-C-L-U-S-I-V-E 如果我们要表示什么什么包含什么什么的时候，我们可以用这个句型 S 加 V 逗点 including 加名词，而 including 加名词也可以改成名词加 included 或 inclusive of 再加名词。 例如 The monthly rent is $8,000 including water and electricity. 每个月的租费是新台币8000元，包含水费和电费。这句的后半部分也可以改成 water and electricity included 或 inclusive of water and electricity.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, let's move on to the second paragraph. We talked about how American Robert Jordan is now in Spain fighting with the guerrilla fighters who are up in the mountains. They were supposed to blow up a bridge, but Pablo, who is leading the guerrillas, thought that destroying the bridge just wasn't going to work. The mission would be a failure or not be successful. We found out about Pablo's girlfriend, Pilar, who's intelligent and decisive and probably the brains behind the guerrilla fighters. So that's not surprising. There are a lot of smart ladies out there. Now, Robert also meets a young woman named Maria, and the two quickly fall in love. Moving on, Jordan is sent on a mission to scout the bridge. When you're in a military unit, you're often sent on missions. We call them missions. So those are their tasks that they're assigned. The mission is to scout the bridge. If you scout a bridge, you go over there, you check it out, see what's around the area. You might want to see how you can destroy the bridge or the best way to hide in that area. But if you scout, you know what's going on and you do it in front of the big group of people that are waiting behind you. You go out first, you see what it's like, and then you go back and report.
You got to be very quiet. You go there to get some information, maybe take some pictures, see how many enemy soldiers are there, what the bridge is like, how to destroy it or whatever, what kind of supports it has, the surrounding foliage or whatever.
Right.
And scout here is being used as a verb, but we could also use it as a noun. Let's send a scout to check out the bridge, for example. Well, when he returns to the camp, Pablo once again refuses to go through with the operation. So Jordan comes back with some information and he probably thinks that, yeah, you know, there aren't that many enemy soldiers there. We could probably pull this off. It probably won't be that difficult. But Pablo is very cautious and he refuses to go through with the operation. He does not want the operation to go forward. Operation here just means what they want to do, the actual project that they're planning to do, to go to that bridge and blow it up. That's the operation. But he says, nope, we're not going to do it. It's too risky.
So since the others insist on carrying out their scheme, Pablo finally concedes. So if you carry something out, you go ahead and take the actions needed to accomplish something. You usually carry out a mission. We use that a lot when we're talking about war and fighting. You carry out the mission. You carry out the operation. Do we ever use it to talk about business? To carry out the project, you could. Yeah,
you could. Yep.
Carry out my instructions. Once your boss gives you instructions, you have to carry them out. Make sure they're done, that you do everything that you were expected to do. Now, a scheme is a plan, and we use scheme sometimes when there's kind of a negative feel to it. If you are scheming, I'm using that as a verb, you're probably coming up with plans that aren't honest. Maybe they're a little dishonest. Maybe you're going to trick some people. Scheme is not always a positive thing, so be careful when you use that word.
You might get some phone calls at some kind of sales scheme where they're trying to sell you something that you don't really need. But in this particular case, their plan, they were going to carry it out, and everybody wants to do this except Pablo, and finally he concedes, well, okay, you guys want to do it, and, you know, there are more of you than me, so I guess I better say yes. He concedes, which means he basically thinks that this is true. He admits that he's wrong, and he says, okay, we should carry this out. However, his negative attitude has made him seem unreliable to the others. So they all want to do this. They're all positive about it. They're optimistic that this mission, that this operation is going to be successful, but he's the only one who doesn't seem to think so. He's got this negative attitude. I don't think it's going to work. We really shouldn't try it. So, of course, he seems unreliable to the others as a result. If you're unreliable, you cannot be depended on. You cannot be trusted.
Yeah, it's kind of hard if you've got somebody who is not wanting to do it and everybody else is positive. You don't want people with a negative attitude. So some even feel that he's a liability. If you're a liability, you have the potential of causing other people some harm. Maybe you're somebody who's going to increase the risk of what's going on, a liability. So you're somebody who isn't united with what they want to do, and you might actually hurt them, a liability. You might be causing them harm. And they also think, well, since he's perhaps a potential risk for us, we need to just kill him.
Yeah, he's a burden. He's just trouble for us. We should probably just get rid of him. But in the end, Pilar convinces them that he is still trustworthy. So again, Pilar is his girlfriend, right? So she knows him better than the rest of them do. So she thinks there's something reliable about him. There's something that they can trust. So she says, well, you know, I still think deep down he's a good guy and we can trust him. He won't betray us. He won't let him down. If you are trustworthy, that means you can be trusted, you can be relied on, and you always tell the truth.
Okay, so the next day, Jordan, the American, hears the sound of another guerrilla camp being bombed. Ooh, and fears that the enemy force is too strong. Remember, guerrilla fighters are in very small groups, so they have to do things that surprise the enemy. Otherwise, their numbers are too small. They're going to get wiped out. He sends a letter requesting that the operation to destroy the bridge be canceled. So he's asking for his leaders that are way above him to cancel the mission. When he does not receive approval in time, Jordan and the guerrillas launch an offensive against the enemy. Wow, that's pretty brave. Okay, approval here is a noun, and it just means the action of saying that somebody can do something that they want to do. Approval. Maybe you are meeting your girlfriend's parents for the first time, and you hope that you'll get their approval, that they'll look at you and go, oh, yeah, he's good. You can keep dating him. He's okay. So that's approval. He doesn't get it in time, though. The leaders don't write him back and go, okay, we can cancel the bridge blowing up mission. Instead, what they have to do is they go ahead and launch an offensive against the enemy. This verb launch just means you start something in motion. Here we're going to start an offensive. An offensive here means a plan or mission that attacks the enemy. You're not waiting to defend yourself. You're going after them first.
It's an attack, and they succeed in destroying or demolishing the bridge. To demolish means to destroy. We often use that word to talk about demolishing buildings. But five of Pablo's men are killed in the process. So they paid a great price there. Five of the guerrillas were killed while retreating. Jordan breaks his leg. To retreat just means to run away from a dangerous situation. He breaks his leg while they're trying to escape. He urges Maria and the others to leave him and continue their getaway, which is the act of escaping, your getaway. Criminals might have a getaway after they rob a bank, for example. And for a moment, he thinks about ending his own life. He wants to commit suicide there before the enemy can capture him. Maybe they'll torture him and get some information from him, so he wants to do himself in before that, but he feels grateful for being able to live out his last hours. If you're grateful, you're thankful for something, you appreciate something, and he thinks, well, you know, I could kill myself, but hey, this is kind of cool with a broken leg here, laying in the mountains, and the enemy are about ready to come and cut my throat.
Ooh. Well, he's grateful that he's able to live out his last hours, continue living until the end. The story closes with Jordan taking aim. He picks up that gun, looks through the little scope, and takes aim. So he's looking at his target as the enemy lieutenant That's a position in the army. If you're a lieutenant, you're one of the leaders as he approaches. If you approach, you near somebody, you come near, and here he's waiting for this enemy lieutenant to come nearer and nearer, and he has his gun on him. So we'll see. We can't tell you what happens.
We can, but we'll talk about Ernest Hemingway in our next program. Right now, though, we're going to hear from our Chinese teacher.
文章的第二段提到 Jordan 被派去侦查那座桥，但 Pablo 还是拒绝执行这项任务。我们看到第二段的第三句 Since the others insist on carrying out their scheme, Pablo finally concedes. 由于其他人坚持执行计划，帕布罗终于让步了。当我们要举例说明没有限定的两群人或物时，我们可以用 some 什么什么 others 什么什么来表示。例如 ，Some people like to live in big cities, while others prefer living in the countryside. 有些人喜欢住在大都市，而有些人比较喜欢住在乡下。当我们要列举有限定的两群人或物时，只是用 some 什么什么加 the others 来表示。例如。Some of the assignments are due this week, and the others are all due next week. 这些作业中有一些是这礼拜要完成，其他的则都是下礼拜要完成。我们继续看到这一句有一个动词 concede, 让步的意思。concede 也有让与、认输、勉强承认的意思。concede defeat, D-E-F-E-A-T, 就是承认失败的意思。文章的最后一段提到 Jordan 和队员成功地摧毁了那座桥，但在撤退的时候 Jordan 的腿受伤了，他要其他的队员离开，只剩下他拿枪瞄准敌方的中尉。我们看到这一段的第二句 He sends a letter requesting that the operation to destroy the bridge be cancelled. 他寄了一封信要求取消破坏桥梁的行动。某些表示命令、要求、请求、建议、推荐、坚持的动词，像是 suggest, advise, request, command, demand, recommend, insist 等等。后面如果接 that 子句时， that 子句要用 should 加原形动词， should 则可以省略。因此主动时 that 子句里面的动词是原形动词，被动语态的时候 that 子句里面的动词是 be 动词加 VPP。例如 ,The professor demanded that the final report should be handed in this Friday. 教授要求期末报告这礼拜五要交出去。这句的 should 可以省略，留下 be handed in 就可以。以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
That's all for today, everybody. Make sure you join us again next time when we continue to talk about our featured work of literature, For Whom the Bell Tolls. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.